Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon will center this around verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Do you know what a great text this passage from John is for Mother's Day? What a fantastic text. Ties in with the theme of greater love. And before going on, let me share a few things about my mother, who, as we were growing up, made it very plain that we were to know God. She told us about Jesus, about salvation, about forgiveness, about the cross. She told us all kinds of things about God. She also told us, and she said this to me one day, I suspect she said it to my brothers also, when I carried you to the front of the church, I gave you away. I gave you to God. Okay. So, she made it known to us that she considered her children as having been given away to God, and that she was a steward to watch over us, but that we really belonged to God. And in doing that, well, how she taught us ties in with the theme greater love. It ties in with words from John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. It ties in with a verse from Isaiah chapter 49. See, this theme of greater love means that she considered it her duty as a Christian mother to point away from herself and to somebody else. And that somebody else was Jesus Christ. So that verse from Isaiah chapter 49, can a woman forget her nursing child or the son of her womb? These may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Open that up just a little bit for you. When it says in the middle of that passage, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, you know what that's talking about, don't you? It's talking about the marks of the nails in the hands of Jesus. And yes, it's in the Old Testament, but God had all of this planned, and he had all of the purposes and the designs all set out so that you would be written in the hands of God. For my mother, that would be a very friendly verse, because it was her duty, as she said time and time and time again, to point away from herself and to somebody else. It's the theme, greater love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. But wait a minute. This is not just any old someone. This is very particular. This is not in the abstract someone being willing to die for a friend. This is one person. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Guess who the his is in that verse? That would be, again, Jesus Christ. And as my mother taught us, there is no love to compare with that love. There is nothing that comes close. There is no one else who loves in that way. He is the one who is able to lay down his life for his friend and take it up again. He is the one who is able to show that measure of love and to call us his own and to make us his friends. And then part two. Friends? Do you realize how rare in the history of world religions the word friends actually is? As a word that talks about a relationship between God and human beings? Oh, in the Old Testament, it's used a few times. Abraham is said to have talked with God face to face as a man talks with his friend. Moses had the tent of meeting where God would come and meet with Moses and talk with him face to face. Moses was a friend of God. But very, very rare is that word friend. Until you get to the New Testament and you get to the Gospel of John and you get to chapter 15, and Jesus makes a point of this. He says in that next verse, he says, "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have shared with you everything that I heard from my Father." And now everything has changed. Got another story to tell you. It was when I was a child and some of my friends were over. And in the course of the afternoon, going into the evening, they were invited to stay for dinner. There at the dinner table, well, there were four boys in my family, no sisters. So we were a bit rowdy, and we'd throw an elbow every so often when Mom or Dad wasn't looking. But in the course of that meal, we're saying, "Mom this, Mom that, Mom the other thing." And one of my friends wants to ask for something. What does he say? Well, he blurts it right out, "Mom." And then he asks, and my mom looks and smiles and passes what he asked for. And I'm sitting there thinking, why is he saying "Mom"? And that there's a reason for that that's very revealing and also ties in with our scripture. The reason why he says "Mom" is because he was invited. He was a part of the family for that meal. What else is he going to say? She's Mom. What else? He's a part of the family. Now, taking it into the New Testament and ask yourself, how did Jesus teach us to pray. What are the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? "Our Father." Why? How dare we say "Our Father"? Didn't we forfeit that right? Didn't we, back in the Garden of Eden, in our first parents, when they had the choice of, am I going to listen to God and his words and his promises, or that other guy and his words and his promises, didn't they listen to the other one? And take the fruit and listen to his words? Oh, God doesn't want you to eat that. He knows it's good for you, but he doesn't want you to have that. Didn't they listen to his promises? You will be like God. And so they broke that relationship. And whose children were they then? The whole history of the Bible, the whole story of the Bible could be said to be the story of God searching for his people who have wandered off from him and gotten lost. Well, in fact, Jesus does say it that way, doesn't he? The parable of the lost sheep, where the good shepherd goes and he searches for his sheep that was lost. And when he finds it, for joy, he puts it on his shoulders. By the way, have you ever smelled the underside of a wet sheep? He puts it on his shoulders and carries it back home and calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost." Okay? That's how Jesus says it. The whole Bible being the story of him searching for his lost ones and bringing us back until finally at the end we are restored as children of God. So as he goes through that work, he teaches us to pray, "Our Father." He brings that up again. He brings it up again on Easter morning outside the tomb, talking to Mary Magdalene, telling her to go and bring a message to the disciples, "Go and say to my brothers, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And we are invited into the family. We are given that place of being sons and daughters of God. Once again included, once again given the privilege of prayer. Once again belonging. But it goes on. Because he doesn't just bring us back as members of the household. He calls us something very specific in these verses. "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends." Through the Old Testament, God talks about his people and he calls them my people or my servants. Here in the New Testament, I've called you friends. What's in that word? Well, there are many relationships in life. Master and servant. King and people. Boss and worker. The word friend has something to do with after all of the work is done. Because when all of the tasks are accomplished and it's at the end of the day, then it is time for the informal relationships, the people that you simply want to be with. Those are your friends. And if you're saying, well, in my family, that's what happens is I want to spend time with, then good. Because not only are you parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, you're also friends. And there's something about that word that goes on. "No longer do I call you servants, but I've called you friends." It's two chapters later. John chapter 17 rather than 15, where he brings this up again. John 17 is Jesus' great high priestly prayer. And he's praying this long prayer, getting ready to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, then to be arrested, and then all of the work of salvation. But as he's getting ready to do this, he's talking with his Father. When you're on the verge of something happening that is great and terrible, and you have something to say, pay attention to what is at the end of that. As you're finishing up, getting closer, and getting ready to step into something that is very difficult, what's on your mind? And when you do that in John chapter 17, you get to the end of Jesus' prayer and you ask, what is the last thing that he asks from his Father? He asks that question and the verse is there and it reads like this: "Father, I want them to be with me and to see my glory." this is what is in the heart of Jesus as he prepares himself to go to the cross. He speaks these words, he prays to his Father, he talks about you, and he says that what he really wants and what this is all about is that you may be with him. To be with him, to share with him his things, his glory, his joy, his heaven, his eternal life. And in sharing with him in those things, to be a friend of Jesus on into all eternity, sharing with him in whatever we will be doing in heaven after everything is said and done. And then having prayed that, then he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. He kneels in prayer. He gets up and is arrested. He stands trial. He receives the crown of thorns. He goes carrying his cross out to Calvary. He receives the nails, and there on the cross he bleeds. He dies. He is laid in the tomb. On the third day he rises from the dead and begins to reveal the whole thing to his disciples, beginning with, "Go and tell my brothers, I ascend to my Father and your Father." He calls you friends. And what this points to is, what is there after all of the work is said and done? What is there after the work of salvation? After the forgiving of sins, after the giving of life, after the resurrection, your bodies and mine risen from the dead and living with Christ, what is it that is there? And what is there is you being called a friend of God. Share with him in everything. It's amazing. It's amazing because sometimes we talk all in terms of what we're saved from. Out of sin, out of death, out of darkness, and into life and salvation. But we don't push ahead and say, just what is it that God has in mind for all eternity? Well, here it is. He says that he wants you to be with him in his kingdom and to share with him in everything as his friend. In Jesus' name, amen.